Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the day, from this day to that, for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
The future is uncertain, I know this. Death is inevitable, I know this. But one thing is certain, as free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
How's your week been? I know you can't answer me. You can type, but you can't really answer me. Let's see. So we heard that the Department of Energy is saying that the Wuhan lab probably leaked the COVID-19 virus. And it's interesting, based on what news source you read, as in USA Today, it says the Energy Department finds COVID-19 mostly emerged from a lab leak, but then they put in parentheses that this is low confidence. That, why would they, so the headline reads, it's mostly, most likely emerged from a lab, but then it says, that's low confidence. So let's, those are kind of weird words to put together, right? Most likely, and well, we're not really sure. Fox News has it as an opinion piece. Actually, they have a little, and they have the word opinion on top of their photo to make sure that everybody knows that it's Fox News' opinion that the Department of Energy said this. Well, wait, they did say it. So why is it Fox's opinion? So it's kind of weird. So, and the Department of Energy, you know, they're known for energy. They're really not known for, you know, pathology. It's not really what they do. So why would the Department of Energy know about this? I mean, why wouldn't it be, I don't know, the CDC that would be talking about this? So, yes. And it's interesting because, like, if you look it up, that's really all you get is the Department of Energy says this. So, anyway, there's that. To me, I tend to believe that it did come from a lab in China. And this is, you know, as obvious as water is wet. So I'm not really sure that, I mean, I'm not really shocked to hear this. Although I am shocked that it's kind of come out. So maybe the Department of Energy decided that they wanted to, I don't know, be the first government organization to say it. But here we go. One second, I need to cough. So, there's that. Now, people were going to say, well, you know, it's in China because Dr. Fauci, you know, wanted to gain a function, can't do that kind of work in labs in the United States. So that's why he went over to China to do these gain of function. So the person, so it's been said that the person that's been lecturing the United States and on everything with this virus, you know, may have had obviously a leg up on the knowledge because he was the one that was part of the gain of function to begin with. So anyway, there's that. Anyone here surprised to hear that? No, I'm not. I'm not either. So, there you go. Although it is interesting how there's just, you know, depending on what newspaper you read, their little take on it. So, like, for instance, ABC News says one report claims COVID is the result of a lab leak. Here's what that means. They use the words low confidence as well. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, media trying to protect the left, right? Let's be the news outlet that gets to carry the story, but let's make sure we posture and say, yeah, we don't really know what's going on. So how is it news then? I don't know. It's not news to me, right? So, there we go. What else is going on? Blah, 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 blah. Okay, so I'm just reading the notes here. So, okay, we're looking at the schedule. Yes, the schedule of the hosts. Very interesting. Yes, please do, because there's many, many good hosts on Revolution Radio, not just Polite Gunfight. So, yes, take a gander. Bullying, you know, You guys aware of what bullying is in school? Have you bullied somebody? Were you ever bullied in school? Anybody? Let's see the hands. Anybody bullied in school? Yes, I don't think many people were immune, although I do know one person in particular that said that she was never bullied in school. because I don't know, maybe she was too popular or too, you know, she was just too too cool, I guess. But most people have experienced some sort of bullying at some point in their educational career, and you know, when I was young and we got bullied, what happened? Well, you know, we got picked on, and kids get picked on all the time. And then, you know, what happens? People go, well, enough is enough, and they don't want to be bullied anymore, so they kind of take action, right? They sock the kid that bullied them in the nose, or they trip them up, or something happens, and they put the bully gets their comeuppance, and then lo and behold, that person is no longer bullied by that person, and usually those people become friends. Well, that's kind of how's been happening. Now, we've discussed before on the show before that bullying is always wrong. Well, of course it is. It is always wrong. And I was taking the task for making mention that bullying is still alive and well. That is not, it's not, my voice hasn't changed. This is you're listening to Polite Gunfights on channel, it's probably channel A and B. So it's the same. I'm sorry. I can't read all these, you know, blasmabuda. Mr. Yuck. Sorry. Anyway. So bullying is still alive and well. As what was I said, and I was taken the task by people that said, no, it's not. I'm sorry that you were bullied, but, you know, we can't have kids slugging other kids because that's not love and that's not the way that we do things. Right? So, oh, good. That shoots better than polite gunfight, I guess. Okay, well, glad to hear you. Glad to have you for a little while. Anyway, so bullying is alive and well, and nowadays what happens is that bullying is not tolerated, and so the school is taking care of it. And it was put forth on the show that everything is fine and that, you know, that's the best way to do it is to not have bullies, and I agree. However, that's not what's going on. Actually, did you know bullying is on the rise? How can that be? It's been stopped. It's no longer tolerated. Schools put a stop to it. They don't allow to have it. They say no. There's bully-free zones in schools. So how is it rising? That doesn't make any sense, right? Because kids, bullies, they obviously don't care what the rules are. I mean, it's getting pretty bad. Bullying was down, obviously, during COVID because nobody was there at school to bully you because you weren't there either. But now it's up quite a bit since then. There's girls that get pummeled. It's shown on TikTok, or, you know, there's videos shown on the internet where kids being bullied. It builds character. Yes, I don't dispute that. But you can't fight back. You can't fight back these days. That's the problem. Is that if you get bullied and you punch somebody in the nose that deserves it, well, you get expelled. The principal doesn't take you to the side and shake your hand and say, well, you took care of them, they're not going to bother you anymore. No, you get expelled from school. You're the one that gets in trouble. You have no defense anymore. So you have character, but then also you don't have a school. But it's going on and more and more. During recess, lunch, breaks, between classes, when there's less supervision. So, it's a shame And I had said it before on the show that bullying is alive and well, and lo and behold, look at the facts and figures, it's gone up quite a bit. In fact, there was a female who got bullied. She got knocked unconscious while she was bullied. She went home and took her own life because she couldn't take it anymore. Sorry. She couldn't take it anymore and didn't know what to do. So, what's the answer? Why is this happening? I mean, one explanation is that, you know, everybody has to be heard, right? Everybody has to have a voice. You can't just, you know, cause problems. And you can't, everybody has to be heard, everybody has the voice. So, unfortunately, you know, there are groups of children that are doing this over and over again, and they're not being reprimanded for it, so they continue to do it. So what's the solution? Do we, oh, it doesn't help when kids are raised by single mothers. Well, there you go. I mean, that sure doesn't help. Man, why am I coughing so much? I haven't coughed all day. Anyway, so it doesn't help because what's happening is if, a parent definitely needs, a kid definitely needs two parents, right? And if there's no family unity and mom's doing it well, you know what? It's not always easy for mom to keep up with the kids because she's doing double duty, right? And it's hard to parent. It's definitely hard, double hard to parent when you're the only one there. So having one parent definitely doesn't help. And it's unfortunately, it's kids of color that are doing more of the bullying, and it is also kids of color that are being more raised by single mothers. So that's all unfortunate. And because of unity and because things have to be equal and fair, they're not going to kick these kids out of school. So the kids can't fight. Kids can't defend themselves. The teachers allow it to happen. They don't kick the kids out of school. There's no punishment for it. So what are you going to get? You're going to get more bullying. Is that a surprise to anybody? No. It's not. So government and leftism gets involved with taking care of bullies and nothing gets solved. That's actually a common theme for this show. Totally don't recommend single mothering. Yes, that's a good point, Mitzi 77. However, not all mothers have that option. Most single mothers, I would say they probably would prefer not to be single mothers, right? They prefer to have a father in the house. And I know I'm very old-fashioned when I say that a child should have a mother and a father. I know that's very, very old-fashioned of me, and I need to get with the times. Because obviously, you know, it could be anything. It could be, you know, a mother and a Dalmatian, or a horse and a pig. As long as there's two, one of them being a birthing parent or not, maybe not even a birthing parent, something that would be recognized as an adult figure, you know, something, whatever. But no, I'm saying that it would be best of a mother and a father. Because, you know, that's called human nature. So, there's that. So check, maybe you should check on, I mean, maybe you don't have children in school at the moment, or maybe you don't yet, or you had, and they've gone away, they've grown up, they've graduated. But, you know, maybe you should check with, see what your school district is doing for that. Grandpa Rudy. I used to bring my son to my dad's. even though it's happened to the best of us. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Yeah, mothers that are single mothers, obviously they deserve a lot of credit for being mothers anyway, because they are, you know, the life force of society. So they deserve all the credit to begin with. And the fact that, you know, they're doing their job and then they're doing their job and there's no father around, you know, is obviously much harder. So, and as Missy points out, if the father's not there and, you know, there's an adult figure, male figure in someone's life, that definitely helps out, right? That if, you know, sometimes it's an uncle, sometimes it's a grandfather, and there is an adult male figure to play that role. Or not trying to play that role, just being there for that person, the de facto playing that role. Because the child will look up to that person and will see that person as an adult male figure and will take on those characteristics, look and see how they are acting and behaving, and we'll appreciate that, right? So, yeah, very good points. Anyway, it's something that that I'm pretty familiar with at this point. And nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. You tell the school that bullying is happening and they go, well, we'll deal with it. They bring the kids in and yeah, nothing changes. So, I'm sorry. What else is going on? I'm just looking through here. +50,000 Aussie women, doesn't include cats and dogs and children, will sleep on Aussie streets. And every night for what? I don't know what that means. Single mothering Aussie women sleeping in the street. I don't know. Oh. Let's see. But then I let him go to the Boy Scouts, and the leader turned out to be a very active alcoholic. Oh, well, that's unfortunate because, you know, I was in the scouting program and it was actually a pretty good influence on me. And I had, you know, very scout leaders that I looked up to and I liked back then. You know, looking back, you know, some of them had different ideas than I would have probably liked to convey to children. But, you know, they weren't alcoholics and generally good people, and they made it fun. So, you know, I had a very positive Boy Scouting experience myself. But, you know, everyone is different. It was actually my friend Rick who, no, it wasn't my friend Rick. It was my friend Travis who was in Scouts, and his Boy Scout leader was actually on, he was in jail for murder, and they let him out, and he got out, and he has to do community service, so he became a Boy Scout leader to do his community service, you know. Obviously, that would not fly today. You could never be a Boy Scout leader if you murdered somebody, right? But that was his Scout leader, and he really enjoyed it. Well, that's good that they had good experiences in Scouts. They slept all night in an igloo they made in the mountains. That seems like a really cool thing. Yeah. They made an igloo and they had a little fire in it too, probably. That'd be really cool. Let's see. Men, real men can handle their women. I don't know if that's in reference to what we're talking about. Real men can handle women, even if they have habits that the men does not like or. But absent men are not, absent fathers are not men. They're childish, selfish wankers. Yeah, I guess I can agree with that. Yeah. I don't know really why you would have a child and then not want to be in their life. Even if you're not really having a good life of yourself, I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't want to be in somebody else's life of a child. I will never understand that, so. Never understand that myself. Nero, yep, fire. But his sleeping bag got burned when the leader passed out and the boys fell asleep. Wow. So he slept in the igloo, and there was a fire in the igloo, which had to keep everyone warm. And then one of the, your son was in a sleeping bag, and he fell asleep, and the bag got burned. Whoops. Oh, well. But there you go. I guess the smell woke him up. It was probably cotton back then, right? You can't blame the men. You can't blame the men for what? For leaving? For not being a father? I'm not sure. You can't blame the men for not being a father. I'd like to see that. I don't know what that means. It's a good discussion here, though. I'm appreciative. Oh, not cotton? Okay. It takes two to tango. Takes you to tango, yes. However, that being married to somebody and being a father in a child's life, I don't know that that takes you to tango. I mean, the child, you know, can't force you to be in their life, and they don't have cars or vehicles or means to get around. So, and whether there's an issue going on along with the mother, that has no excuse of not being in a child's life, though, I wouldn't think, right? A man who is a father is a father. Yeah, I would agree with that. Let's see. Which has MGTOW. I don't know what that means. The welfare queen situation. Well, there's the inner city where, you know, women have children and then the government puts, you know, they get welfare and they get money for having children and then they have more children and then they have more money from the government. Yeah, that's bad. And destruction of the Christian nuclear family unit is the issue. Yeah, I mean, I would say that just having family together is the problem. And, you know, a faith-based family certainly is good, too. My dad brought his son. So, Mitzi, do you guys live in Alaska? Is that where you guys grew? Is that where your son grew up in the Scouts? There's no incentive for men to get married. Well, is there incentive for women to get married? Men and women are being played by the government. Men going their own way. Okay, I see. Thank you. I would never guess that. Pacific Northwest. Okay. Okay, great. And that'd be great. That'd be a great part of the country to visit for sure. And is the one that said wanker, is that Amigalogos? Is that, are we in Australia? Yeah. BB. Oh, okay. Sex swap for survival deal is broken now. So the idea that people procreated due to, you know, because that's what you do, because that's what nature does. It doesn't, you don't need this because, you know, if a man and woman have a baby together and then he leaves and the government takes over, then there's really nothing tying to the man, to the family unit anymore, which I don't know. It's kind of weird. I still don't understand that because I just still don't understand that why dads wouldn't want to be a part of their child's life. I don't get that. Women get everything in divorce. I guess that tends to be mostly true still today. But it all depends on who the divorce lawyer is and who has more money and what state you're in. They tend to be given more rights as it comes to children and being the custodial parent. And they tend to get alimony payments, child support payments, more than men do. So that's true. But again, I mean, that doesn't mean that the father can't be a part of his children's life, though. It's mostly women's fault for guys leaving them. I don't know about that, but I mean, if you're a man, you would definitely say that, right? But women might actually have a different argument. So that might be based on your gender, but what? Anyway, so the family unit is definitely definitely the problem, definitely a problem. And if we had a more nuclear family, we'd have men and women sticking together. We'd have children that were more well behaved. They would leave the house and you know how to treat other people out in public. They wouldn't be bullying other kids. The ones that were would be found out quickly by their parents and stopped, most likely by their father. And then you know, it would kind of take care of itself. Is that what we're saying? I mean, that's what I would think. So I would say the same. So, yeah, definitely a good conversation. Thank you. So there is if you need an anti-bullying lesson for single mothers, they have them out there. After this lesson, students will be able to tell what a bully is and how to identify one. You know, it's not really much what they say. Okay, so it is what they say, but it's also how they make you feel. Right. I don't know that anyone really needs a lesson on determining who a bully is and how to identify one. I think that's study.com. I think you've kind of missed the mark there. And on that one already. Explain how to avoid bullies. Well, isn't that nice? You can go on this website and say how to avoid a bully. Like that, once you see one, you're like, there's a bully, I will just stay away, right? I just won't walk down the hall, and if it's the only way to get out of the building, I'll just jump out a window, right? I'll discuss what to do in bullying situations. Okay, here we go. Man, I can't read it at all. Dang it. I have to pay for this. Man, I don't want to pay for it. I just wanted to see it. I wanted to see what Cheryl Lind has to say about bullies. Write the definition of bully on the board and say what types of things do bullies do. If this bully is an accident, is it funny or does the victim laugh? What do you think a bully is feeling when they act cruelly? Have you ever been bullied? Has anyone ever called you a bully? Yes, actually, people have called me a bully. I don't think they're right, but they have. Now, read. If someone bullies you with students, together brainstorm and list a chart of actions. So there's this chart of actions. So if we all get together and we brainstorm about what a bully is and how to deal with them, if we put it down on paper, nobody gets bullied. See? That's that simple. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Study.com and Sharon Lind, with your Master's of Science in Mathematics and Master's in Education. Yes, BB, I understand. I think that the bully needs to be put in their place. Yes, I agree with that. But again, how is that going to happen in today's school? They can't. Pat Rabbit's talking about good science. What is good science? What am I missing? Exactly. Well, that's what I was saying, BB, is that usually when the bully gets their comeuppance, then they suddenly gain respect for you, and everybody becomes friends. Exactly. That is kind of the normal way of doing things. That is normally the way things should happen. I mean, there's bullies today. I mean, you know, now they're, you know, most of them are in Congress, right? But, all right. Good discussion. So let's take a turn to something else. What else is going on in the news? Let's see. Did you hear about they can't stop everyone? Well, they can't stop everyone from defending themselves, right? But you know, it's always going to be the kid that defends himself that gets expelled or something, right? So who is the press secretary for Joe Biden? I can't remember her name. She's like, clearly, she's like one of the worst press secretaries. Karine Jean-Pierre. I'm probably not allowed to say that because she is the first woman of color and the first openly LGBT person to be the White House press secretary. Therefore, whatever she says is utter gold. She cannot be, I cannot have anything mean to say about her. And she is obviously the best at what she does because she has two characteristics. She has three characteristics. She's a female. She's openly LGBTQ plus blah, blah, blah. What is she? Is she L? Is she G? Is she B or T? Oh my gosh. I had one of those the other day. If you haven't had one, you have to try those. An LGBT. Have you ever had one of those? That's lettuce, guacamole, bacon, and tomato. Have you ever had one? Go to a restaurant and ask for an LGBT. They're awesome. Little mayo on the side? Man. Anyway, she's openly LGBT. Which is it? If you're open about what you are, why don't you tell me why do you have to be a bunch of letters? Why can't you just be an L? Or a G or a B or a T? That's kind of weird. Anyway, she's been talking about the, the balloons, the matter that now seems to matter, that's been flying over, that now seems to be flying over our airspace these days. she's been asked about this. And she's reassured us that They're not aliens. But what are they? What's been flying over? Well, so, you know, we had this one big balloon flying over that the United States said they saw leaving Chinese an island off of China, and that belongs to China, and it was this huge thing, like as big as what, 2-3 school buses, 200 feet in diameter, flying around, and you know, kind of, it was able to change its trajectory, and it's flying around. And we watch it fly, and it comes over to Alaska. Comes over into Alaska airspace. And we see it's there. And we know where it came from. And we let it fly through. And it flies over Wyoming. It flies over a bunch of, nuclear power plants, sites. And then as soon as it gets off of the coast, we shoot it down. Because, you know, we couldn't let it hit a school, right? I mean, we saw it in Wyoming. We saw it in Alaska, you know, where there's like, you know, one person for, what, 17 square miles? Sorry, I didn't mean to cough in your ear there. And schools, you know, even more sparse than that. Anyway, Joe said we didn't want to have it hit a school. And then once that's gone, now they're shooting everything out of the air. They spent $800,000 on missiles to shoot something out of the air recently. And they're shooting, like, hobbyists, air balloons out of the air, space junk, whatever. And then they said, well, you know what? Now that you mentioned it, Trump. This is Trump's fault because he let all this stuff fly over our airspace before. No, he didn't. But that's their excuse because, you know, we left this one go, but it really wasn't us. It was Trump. Wait, Trump was the reason why the Chinese balloon made it over our continental United States, even though he wasn't in power? Okay. Anyway, so Karine Jean-Pierre, the worst press secretary ever, explained that, you know, that it wasn't aliens and we had nothing to fear, and she took no questions. So we really don't have anything there. So let's just know that it's not aliens. Oh, and that Trump is bad. Oh, and Biden's good. And what Biden shot out of the air is good, even though he didn't shoot him out over the United States, the first one. Now he's shooting everything out of the air. So now whatever. Anyway, I don't know. If you've ever heard her talk, if you ever heard her explain anything, it's just ridiculous. So, but she's the best at what she does. And so is Mayor Pete, the Secretary of Transportation. The man that loved choo-choos. He couldn't wait. He just was so excited to be the mayor. He was the mayor of South Bend. And then he became the Secretary of the Transportation because he loved choo-choos growing up. And now he loves crashing trains in the United States, causing huge chemical spills. No. I mean, he doesn't like it, but he really doesn't have a lot to say about it. But he does have a lot to say about him giving himself 12 weeks off for having a baby, giving himself paternity leave. That was very important. Choo-choo trains crashing and falling off the track, not so much. Also, you know, he talked about how, you know, how it's not fair because, you know, poor children of color go outside and they see road crews working. And who's working on the road? Why, it's white people. And that's not fair. A poor young black person can't even watch a person of color fix their road. But it turns out that that's not even the case. There actually are a lot of people of color and other minority descents that work in construction. So I don't know. It's just getting hard to listen to him. It's really getting hard to listen to all of Biden's ilk and secretaries and everything. It's just so tiring these days. Well, to me anyway. What say you? I know this is not as I'm sorry I jumped off of the topic of bullying and school choice and Boy Scouts. I'm sorry. I moved on and was hoping that we could talk about other things that were annoying me, but I'm sorry it's not as irie to you. You never listen to Biden. Well, if you never listen to Biden or any of his ilk, then there's nothing to get upset about. So I can understand that. You're probably better off. And even though I listen to Biden, do I really know what he's saying? And they are bullies. That's what I said. Congress is show business for the ugly and also the world's best bullies. Right. And if they're part of the UN, they're bullies in $5,000 suits. So. Well, yeah, they are. They are bullies. Oh, there was a interesting statistic here. Let me see if I can find this here. NDA. Let's see. I'm sorry. I'm just looking this up because I thought this was pretty. All right. So I'm gonna fact check this first. So there was this TikTok viral video that came about, and someone stood up in the middle in the front of the room and said, "Tell me what this is. Is this the NFL or the NBA?" Right? And they went through this diatribe of, you know, who's the most deplorable people? Are they a part of the NFL or the NBA? And they go through this list of all these heinous things that people have done. And then at the end, he says, "Are you surprised to know that it's neither the NFL or NBA I'm talking about? It's actually Congress. 36 have been accused of spousal abuse. 7 have been arrested for fraud. 19 have been accused of writing bad checks. 117 have directly or indirectly bankrupted at least 2 businesses. 3 have done time for assault. 71 cannot get a credit card due to bad credit. 14 have been arrested on drug-related charges. 8 have been arrested for shoplifting. 21 currently have defendants in lawsuits. 84 have been arrested for drunk driving." No, it's neither NFL or NBA. It's the 435 members of Congress. Now, Snopes is saying that this is false. That Mark Bailey, the then president of the chancellor of the Dallas Theological Seminary, reads this off, and he says that is not false. That's not true. So, you know, it's a story where, you know, you want to look at Congress and say they're deplorable people, and there's this list of things, and you want to jump on board and say, well, that's got to be true, right? However, this one happens not to be true. But, however, there are obviously deplorable people and bullies in Congress. If you ever listen to, you know, what they've said, if you listen to the impeachment trials of Trump, if you listen to Adam Schiff talk, right? If you listen to them berate Judge Kavanaugh when he was trying to get confirmed to the White House, if you listen to the questions they asked Amy Coney Barrett, you know, when she was going to become a judge. So Mitzi, so a question would be, can you be a good politician, right? And if you're in the United States, you'll know, and from civics class, that the government didn't have a lot of meetings. Congress didn't have a lot of sessions because it wasn't meant to. It was meant to, you know, you have this government, you make a couple things, you go away, you live your life, you come back, and you partake in politics, right? You're not really a politician. You're a plumber, you're a lawyer, you're a doctor, you're all these things. But in your spare time, you're a senator, right? But that's not the way it is anymore. Now, you know, it's a way of life, right? And so it's a way of life that people make their living there. They want to go to Washington. They all want to go to Washington to make things better. They all say that, right? There are good people everywhere, exactly. Timothy McVeigh. What about Timothy McVeigh? He blew up the building to fry the FBI. Timothy McVeigh, yes, the building in Oklahoma City building? put a bomb in the a Ryder truck bomb in the garage. Anyway, so politicians, back to them. So you go to Washington, you want to serve the people. But then you get there, and maybe things don't work out. But are there still good politicians? You know, what are some good politicians? If you don't listen, if you don't find out what they're trying to do or find out what they're saying, then how do you know there are any? And there's detractors for everybody. Every politician has a they're the worst person in the world, and then there's people that say they're the best person in the world. There really is no, it doesn't seem to be anyone that anyone can agree on from either side that this politician is fair, right? Which is unfortunate because it wasn't always that way. Tip O'Neill, right? He was the Speaker of the House. He was a Democrat, right? Was he not? Tip O'Neill. No. Politics and baseball. 47, blah, 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 blah. Democrat. He was a Democrat. He was the Speaker of the House. He was the Speaker of the House for Reagan. And he and Reagan got along, right? I mean, they jabbed at each other. But they got along. You know, we believed at a point in time that you know, you can be on each side of the aisle, you could say what you wanted to, but in the end, you know, you're still friends, right? You're still part of the same system. You know, after 9/11, what happened? What happened after 9/11, the same day? Well, what happened was that people of Congress, both Democrats and Republicans, went outside and sit on the steps of the Capitol and saying, you know, America the Beautiful, the Star Spangled Banner, all these patriotic songs. They sang them together. 9/11, 2001. I mean, would that happen today? Could you get that today? If the United States, God forbid, went under a huge attack like that on American soil, would you have bipartisan anything? Or would it just be attacking? Right? It was kind of a semblance that even though people were at each other's throats, you know, we were all part of the same system. Very little salvageable today in the system. I don't disagree. I don't disagree. So maybe that's why you don't watch anymore, Mitzi, because you don't want to be disappointed. You don't want to be, you don't want to, you know, be let down by somebody that you voted for or had faith in, right? Then they get to Washington and they're not who you think they are. So, very possible. We're going back to Timothy McVeigh. I'm interested in what Amigalugos is getting into here. Let's see. Yep. Okay. Oh. So McVeigh is alive, apparently. Dryfly says. Okay. Timothy McVeigh is alive. He was not executed federal. He wasn't sentenced to death and executed. Did we not see his execution? But that was televised, or at least talked about. The mechanic says, "Come on, man," just like Joe Biden would say. And I'll say, "Come on, man, come on back." After the
secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support the station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
So, because prejudice existed and they no longer do, we can't know about them. That's kind of weird, isn't it? So what to do? we can't have statues that are, of history, of the history we don't like. We can't have books written that has history we don't like. It has to be changed, right? But that's really interesting because, first of all, there's the idea of presentism, right? Just because we have a view of way things are now, we judge everything from the past from our view right now, right? That we use today's lens to determine what was right and what was wrong back then, and not that it was just history and that it is what it was. When Huckleberry Finn picked on Jim, the slave, right? An African-American slave. When he picked on him and he used racial slurs and he, said things about him in a derogatory manner, Mark Twain wasn't saying that he approved of that. Instead, in Huckleberry Finn, Huck Finn actually came to realize things that he didn't know before. The story was one way about how he treated Jim, and the story changed, right? He played a joke on Jim that, the raft that Jim and Huck were on kind of got loose and kind of got unsettled, and they got separated in the middle of the night, and Jim was very afraid that he had lost Huck and all this, and then they kind of passed out and ended up on a raft, on the same raft, and passed out and woke up, and Huck played a trick on Jim, saying that, Jim woke up and was so excited to see Huck that he had that he was alive and everything was fine. And Huck played a trick, saying that you know, treating him like he was a simpleton, that none of this happened, that he dreamt it all. And Jim got really upset and said, you know, and then Huck copped to it being a joke, and Jim really got upset with him, right? But and Huck learned something there, that's not the way you treat people, right? This was a dire moment of life or death, and Jim really cared about Huckleberry Finn, and he showed it. But if you didn't read this book, right? If you didn't read the book, in that time period or this time period, you might not realize, you know, you might not learn, right? You might not be able to see things from other people's eyes. And that's what this story was about. That's what one of the great things about Huckleberry Finn. And that's the great thing about all these stories are. That it's not necessarily a, you know, what we take from it is to learn lessons, right? That's why the classics are the classics. That's why Roald Dahl has a lot to say, right? We don't change the message just because we may not like it or agree with it, or, you know, think it's wrong to fat shame people today, right? I mean, this story is a character. Glupus Glove did not exist. He was a character. He ate the mic of the interviewer in the show. He jumped into chocolate, a river of chocolate, and he'd rather drown drinking chocolate than save his own life. That's how much of a glutton he was. Obviously, that's a character, a caricature of people that eat too much, right? It wasn't making fun of people that are overweight. It's saying that the lesson was that you can be a glutton, and if your parents don't stop this, then, you know, there's a lot of bad things that can come from this. So, you know, there's a lot of lessons here. And that's what the Oompa Loompas were teaching us. These little creatures from the Oompa Loompa land were observing society and noticing that where these problems existed. And that's what Charlie and the Chocolate Factory was all about. Now, when I was a child, and I saw the movie, it was like one of the scariest movies that I couldn't stop watching, right? Because terrible things happened to these kids, but yet every time it was on, I had to watch it. My eyes were glued to it. And when the Oompa Loompas rolled out and they were making fun of me, the kids, the parents, like, I didn't like that either. I didn't like the Oompa Loompas. You know, it wasn't until you grow up that you learn that, you know, there's actually a pretty good message to this to this movie. Anyway, so we're gonna censor it because we don't like what the books say. Everything has to be changed. Well, where did that happen? And what book did that occur in? Well, that occurred in George Orwell's 1984, and that was changed to, you know, revise history, right? It was also changed to confuse people, right? I think that's the one thing that when people bring about 1984, I think they mischaracterize a lot of what the story was about. The reason why stories kept changing and newspapers were changed and history was changed was to confuse populace, right? I don't know. I mean, I guess you can say that sanitizing the language in a book and so that people can't see it, you know, as a way to sanitize and confuse the populace. I'm not sure, but I mean, like, when it was done in 1984, you know, all old renditions of the book and all old papers were burned, and they didn't exist anymore. And even the note that came down the pipe, that came down the tube to make all these changes, you know, was burned down too, was burned as well. And it was all a matter to confuse people, right? That that this land was in, was against this land, and that, you know, was it Eurasia was against, you know, was fighting this, and now these were people who were friends. And, you know, the next day, you know, they were never at war, right? The things got worse, right? Chocolate rations had gone up, right? 33% to 25 grams, right? But really, they changed the papers. They went down 5 grams. It went from 35, went from 30 to 25. But because they changed the papers, they made it seem like it went up 20 to 25, right? So that's what was going on in 1984. That you couldn't talk to anybody. You had to love Big Brother. You couldn't talk to anybody. You were being monitored all the time. And, you know, so there's, you know, people would say, well, you know, we're being monitored all the time. We have to watch what we say. We have to watch what we do. You know, Scott Adams, Dilbert. Anybody read Dilbert? The Dilbert cartoons? Well, Scott Adams is the author of Dilbert. And he was on a podcast. And you have to watch what you say, because he was on this podcast. And he was going through a survey. And the survey had said, they asked people of color, black people, what they thought about the statement, it's okay to be white. And some 53% said, well, they agree with that statement. And 46% said that they didn't agree with that statement. Now, I don't know what that meant. Well, I don't know what that means. Are they against the statement? Are people against 46% of the people that are black or surveyed, were they against the statement that it's okay to be white? Or is does that have a connotation to it that I'm not aware of? I don't know. But anyway, Scott Adams opined that if 46% of a group felt that it was not okay to be white, if they felt that way, then that was a big problem. That was a big issue. And what would you do? And he said, well, you know, you need to stay away from people like that. You need to stay away from this 46%. Or if it's about half, you need to stay away from all people of color like that. You know, if all these things are true, this is what I would say you need to do. He was just talking about that. Well, he said that. And because he said that, that was deemed a racist tirade. And that now that he said that racist tirade, he was removed from his comics. Dilbert was removed from many newspapers. You know, and they quoted him saying, look, you know, how am I ever going to recover from this? You know, this is the way I make my money. And, you know, within 5 days, you know, 3 days, I'm going to be removed from all newspapers. I'm ruined. So, So what of it? Was it racist? Was it not? Well, he was deemed to be racist, so I guess it was. Scott Adams has been poking fun at some wokeness for quite some time. He's had shows on, I mean, he's had like podcasts where he talks about wokeness, and you know, the left didn't like that at all. But now, because they believe that, because he quote unquote called Black Americans a hate group, then now, you know, it's hate speech. So, you know, you got to watch what you say. I have to watch what I say. What can I mean, look. I mean, am I going to, you know, what am I supposed to say? Do I need to be watched fearful of my point of view? Just what article I read, you know, might convey that I'm, you know, for or against what he said, right? Man, it's, what are you supposed to do? So, Elon Musk, right? He said that, you know, he took up for Scott Adams. And he said that the media is just trying to destroy him. And Musk later agreed with a tweet saying Adams' comments weren't good, but had an element of truth to them. He also accused the media of giving black victims of police violence disproportionate coverage over white victims of police violence. Black people were more likely to die from police use of force than white people, according to multiple studies. So he is, you know, Musk is taking up for Scott Adams and saying that the media is just trying to run him down because they didn't like him anyway. Well, they got their wish. Dilbert is he even in? Canceled. Dilbert canceled. Is he even in anywhere? And it's interesting because Scott Adams said that. Dilbert didn't say that. But because Scott Adams said that, well, then you can't have a Dilbert in the cartoons anymore. Wow, Time Magazine, which has been a rag for a long time, has opined. And Time Magazine says that, you know, it's been antiquated forever because, you know, Dilbert really never doesn't have a place anymore. You know, the put upon white male tech guy is not a thing. You know, there's white male tech guys don't have bad bosses, don't have to put up with any, you know, any troubles in the workplace. You know, woe is them. You know. You can't opine, you can't make jokes about that because, you know, they're just not funny. They're just not put upon. They really have no complaint, and no one cares, right? So, you know, it doesn't really matter. But except for the fact that it's a comic strip. And the word comic means that it's comedic, means that it's meant to be funny. right? this author here from Time didn't opine about Hagar the Horrible, the Viking, right? The plunderer that really wasn't a plunderer, because even though he was, you know, off and plundering lands and causing havoc, he came home to a stern wife that ruled the roost, right? Nobody, he didn't get canceled, Hagar the Horrible, because everybody knows, you know, Vikings aren't put upon, right? That's antiquated, right? Nobody worried about Brunhilde or BC, right? You know, the jokes, the comics about, you know, time, the caveman jokes, right? Nobody opined about that. Garfield, the fat cat that got all the lasagna he wanted. No one said, you know what, his time is done. I mean, come on. Cats eating lasagna, they get all the lasagna they want. Nobody said that. But when Dilbert is canceled, then, you know, it's what deserves. It's what's deserved. You know, a quote, still now that Adams said what he said, it's clear the issue with Dilbert is not just the character is lazy and unmotivated and quite frankly privileged. His characterization as the anti-hero, everyman victim, now feels more nefarious. It's worth considering not only how we will look back on Dilbert and icons like the comic, but how we can ensure that we do so more honestly. Yes. So, I mean, let's make sure that we, you know, and if you were laughing at Dilbert, you know, what was so funny, right? What was so funny about Dilbert? And, you know, so what, you have this tech job. No one cares that you have a tech job with a bad boss with big fuzzy hair, that you have troubles. You at least have a job, right? Now it might be more nefarious because you're privileged. You're white and you're privileged. You have a job. You have no bitch. No complaints. Am I still on the air? I haven't heard anything. We had a lot of vibrant talk, and now I hear nothing. I mean, no one's saying anything. Is it me, or is just the discussion is no longer here? Is it going on about me? Everybody's so mesmerized that they just don't know what to say, or is this the chat dead, or is nobody listening anymore? I really don't know. But anyway. So if you're listening and you can hear me, that'd be nice if you could say that you hear me, because I don't know that you can. Anyway, so so now, you know, we have to watch what comics we read, right? Because, you know, maybe we should take a look at what we're reading, what we find funny, right? Obviously, there's nothing funny about a dog and a, you know, Dilbert dog. What was his name? Dogbert? Yeah. Let's see. In hindsight, what I previously found unfunny now seems dark, even dangerous. And that's a broader indictment of workplace behaviors that once excused mouthy, mediocre performers and their entitled attitudes. Wow, so Dilbert was entitled, was he? Adams portrayed Dilbert as the victim of the more inclusive workplace. The dangerous myth, white men can't get jobs. I don't know what that means. Who said that? I don't know. Man, whoever this person is, who's DEI? Who is DEI? No? Who is this person that's typing this, writing this? letter. Oh, who is S. Mitra Kalita? Who is that person? Who is that person? S. Mitra Kalita is the co-founder and CEO of URL Media, a network of black and brown news and information outlets. Does that sound weird to anybody else? A network of black and brown news that share content, revenue, and distribution. She is also the author of Epicenter NYC. Okay. Well, she's a terrible artist. She's a terrible writer. Oh, the last day of, real quick, it's the last day of Black History Month. So we need to, I just want to see what she says. I'm not going to comment. 9 Black History Month ideas we need to implement ASAP. Okay, 9 history. Okay, I'm not going to say anything. Seriously, I promise. Okay, what do we need to support black media? Sure, you pay for Wall Street Journal and New York Times, but does your office have a subscription to Black Enterprise? So you need to support black media. You need to decide that you like black-run newspapers and magazines, okay? What else do you need to do? Promote up and coming talent. And old-timers, too. Make sure that you have to promote, just as released documentary series, the 1619 projects. I don't know. What do I need to do? Get out into the community. You need to, what do you need to do? For Black History Month, best of times of the year, historians, you need to go out in the community and see the great things that black people have done. Okay. Socialize and celebrate black joy. Oftentimes, the history of black people in America is presented primarily or entirely narrative linked to trauma, violence, and resilience. But it's possible that black joy, okay, acknowledge really mixed feelings about Black History Month. I don't know. What does that mean? Remember that Black History Month is an American history, an LGBTQ plus history, Latino history, disabled history, and on and on. Okay. And there are quotes besides I have a dream. Okay, well, there you go. There you have it. Support your black magazines. Get out to the public. Find out good things about Black History Month and about, let's do the positives instead of the negatives. Okay. All right. There you go. Thank you. That's it. Again, nobody's even commenting. Am I still here? Who knows? Maybe nobody can hear me. Let's see. Audio is good. I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to close out of my window here. I'm still connected to the server. Can I get back into my this? Come back here. Go to this website, connect to the join the talk, and lo and behold, it's all the same. Okay, it's interesting. Nobody's saying anything. Well, anyway, maybe people are trying to say something, and they can't. Well, I'm not censoring you or silencing your voice. So just know if you can hear my voice and you can't type, that it's not me censoring you. Because I would like to hear what everyone has to say and think. Let's see. Let's go to Skype. I want to see blah, 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 blah. I'm still on Skype, too. Okay. So, let me take a drink here. Other news. What is going on? the news today. News. There's something else I wanted to see. Today's news headlines. Let's see. Hundreds. Wow. Oh, Mayor Chicago Lightfoot voted out of office. 40 years, you know, first time in 40 years that a sitting mayor gets voted out in Chicago. That's good. She deserved it. Let's see what else. Man. Tries to avoid prison. Let's see. Oh, Fetterman, John Fetterman, the lurch-like senator from Pennsylvania that lived in his parents' basement, was the mayor of Braddock, Pennsylvania. Never showed up for any meetings. Braddock, Pennsylvania used to be an F in all categories for crime and all things. And he, after 8 years, he turned it into a D. So, you know, he really did a lot of good for that. He became a senator. He had a stroke. Before he became a senator, he did one debate. And it was actually after everybody, you know, most of the people had voted by mail. So he went to the Senate. And he apparently had depression and he got hospitalized for depression. So this is kind of sad, right? It's kind of sad that somebody has a stroke, they really can't talk, they get voted in the office, and now they have depression. I had thought that Jill Biden was a terrible individual for, you know, pushing a man to president, you know, to run for president when, you know, he barely could tie his own shoes and ate ice cream. But this is just as bad. You know, John Fetterman's wife, knowing that he has a brain injury, pushing him forth to be a senator, and then just not being able to handle the office. So I doubt he's going to last too long in office. And that's a shame because he doesn't have to be under all that much stress and pressure, right? He doesn't have to have it because he can't take it. Post-stroke depression is common, happens 33% of the time. but just think about this, that he was put into a position of prominence, a position of notoriety, you know, everybody knows about him, and yet, you know, he can't deal. So he should have never been put in that situation, and now he has to endure pain and suffering because people didn't have good sense, like his wife didn't have good sense. They just say, you know what, honey, let's just not run. Let's let you relax. Let's go do something else, right? So I don't know. In many ways, I think she is more of a monster than Joe Biden. Jill Biden is. There, I said it. So, I don't foresee him being senator much longer. If you can't make it a month as a senator without having checking yourself into a hospital for deep depression, then how can you be on a quote-unquote path to recovery? What's going to change? You going to be put on medication? you know, I don't know. So, I don't foresee him being there long. So, if any of you were concerned about him being president, I don't think you have to worry. All right. I'm going to, how do I, let's see. Is there an issue with the chat on rr.org? I have not seen a new comment in over 30 minutes. Anyway. Let's see. After Why Not Show, you saying on A, Deacon and Ari are going to be on B. I don't know what that means. Anyone want to cause some trouble tonight? Deacon. Do. Huh. Oh, wow, I got somebody. Defin182 gives me the thumbs up. Thanks. I guess maybe you can hear me. That's why you're giving me a thumbs up? Thanks. I appreciate it. Just odd that everyone just passed out at the same time. Anyway, that's good. Thanks for listening. What else is going on here? So did you hear the story? Single mom experienced the biggest shock of her life after finding out the truth about her adopted kids. So this mother, for a number of reasons, her kids being funneled into the foster care system. Fortunately, as of seeking to restore the balance in this world, there are also many people who are willing to lend a helping hand. Katie Page is one of those foster parents who knew the roles that goes beyond providing food and lodging to a kid. Having discovered their lifelong mission, she took the leap and decided to officially adopt a kid into foster care. A year later, there was a calling again, and she was more excited to have a second child in her home. However, in the process of adoption, she discovered something about the kid she wasn't ready for and definitely did not expect. After a tumultuous marriage and a heartbreaking divorce, Katie Page of Parker, Colorado, decided that she will lead everything in her life differently. And she wanted to make an impact. Katie felt so alone when she divorced her husband in her early 30s. Okay. She discovered infertility issues, so she couldn't have children of her own. And that really broke her up. I'm trying to get to the story here. Really trying to get to the story here of what happened. Just so everybody knows. Trying to cut to the chase. Okay. Okay. Katie has the money to hire professionals who can renovate her house. However, she opted to do things on her own as a way of relieving her stress. Moreover, she wanted to see something beautiful that was created by her own hands. However, her mother couldn't leave her well enough alone and volunteered to help do some of the cleaning. After a few weeks, Katie began to see some changes. So it wasn't enough. She was in the middle of tearing out old cabinets and ripping slightly ruined floors when she received an unexpected message in her email. And missed emails which were work-related. Was a particular message in her inbox that caught her attention. It was from the local church, and the message had something to do with fostering a child. Personally, Katie didn't know anyone who fostered children, nor had she had friends who raised a foster child. Although feeling clueless about it, she couldn't fool herself that the subject had awakened a soft spot in her heart. Katie wanted to make a call. Oh my gosh, so she takes on these kids. So what happened? Yeah, so she takes on these kids. It was hard. It was heartbreaking. She takes on these kids. You know, she phoned her mother, has kids. Okay, where is the story? This story is hard to follow. What's going on here in this story? I just wanted to read one story. And I keep scrolling and scrolling, and it's like a soap opera. I can't even get to. No. 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 You guys still there? I'm reading this article, and then the site was taken over by a fake ad that McAfee was trying to something was trying to infiltrate my machine, and McAfee was there to save my life. And I don't have McAfee. I use Symantec, so I knew that was fake. And I couldn't even get to the rest of the story. That's so aggravating. That's so aggravating. I'm trying to read a story, trying to find out what's the shock of the kids of what happens when you're trying to foster children and what happened to this woman, and it turned out to be a hoax. So I don't even know if it's a real story. So I'm sorry to take everyone's time and not even have a story about what happened. So if you know the story about a lady that took on two kids and then something happened they didn't expect, and you know what happened, please let me know, because I have no idea. I'm trying to look it up on my phone, but, oh, that's how was it just a trick from the beginning to have me scroll down and see all those photos just so that I could, you know, think that my machine was infected? Oh my gosh. That was really aggravating. Single mom. Foster children surprise. I just have to know. I'm sorry. Foster single mom gets surprise. Katie Page. So this is from People Magazine. Okay, so what happens? Nothing ever happens. Nothing happened. Nothing happened bad. She adopted the kid, and they're living happily ever after. So, it was a story that was just trying to get you to click on something to make you think your machine was taken over. Man, that was a good scam. That whoever did that. I don't know what it was, but it was a good scam. Thanks. I could have fallen for that if I didn't know any better. My gosh. So I'm reading you guys a story, and it all turned out fine. So there we go. Adopt children. Foster children and adopt them. What could go wrong? Why nothing? Because everything always works out. And government is always on your side. There you go. Well, thanks. It's 2 minutes to leave. I got a thumbs up by DFIN182. I think that means that he heard me. Otherwise, I don't know. But anyway, it was a pleasure listening to reading the conversation. Thank you for listening. I enjoyed it. Thanks for all the good talk in the first hour. And I hope that we can have more good discussion. So, moderator. Oh, okay. Hope everyone has a good night, and I hope everyone is able to come back next week and for some more fun. So, please consider donating to freedomslips.org, and because this is totally 100% listener-supported radio, we can't do it without you. And, well, thank you, D-Fin. Thank you for listening from Australia.
Of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this Truth Jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery, real natural law. Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crip Rick's Ivan Baker. Welcome to the Crypt.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution.